Again, this evening, we are on Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you, You will keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you, because he trusts and he takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. That is the Amplified version. So we have been speaking about this topic for a few weeks now, and the portion of it that we're going to discuss tonight is looking at where our peace comes from. Peace isn't not something that you can muster up. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, it's not something that we can muster up in and of ourselves. Peace is in the person of Jesus Christ. Peace is in the person. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. And thankfully, we have God's Spirit living in us. So we must learn how to tap into the peace of God that is so readily available in us, actually, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Living with true peace can only be done by allowing the Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of his presence in our lives. That we find in Galatians 5:23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So how incredible is it that we can have peace in this world through relationship with the Holy Spirit? True peace is solely a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that takes the weight of that off of our shoulders, because we can't do it. We can't make it happen. We can't muster it up. It's impossible to bear the fruit of peace apart from being connected to God. Absolutely impossible. We can't. That is where it is found, is in our connection to God. And if we, if we're living without peace, it's because we have yet to allow the Holy Spirit to fill an area of our life with his presence. If our thoughts aren't marked by the peace of God's truth, it's because we have yet to allow the Spirit to renew our minds with the scriptures, And if we're without peace in our relationships, it's because we haven't allowed him to reveal to us his heart for ourselves and for others. If the opinion of man continually robs our peace, it's because we haven't centered our lives around his opinion of us. That has to be more important to us. That should be more important to us. To live with peace is to allow the Spirit to permeate every area of life with his powerful, loving, and transformative presence. We want to seek a greater measure of communion with the Holy Spirit and enjoy the fruit of this, of peace that comes from his, that comes from his nearness, So how to have a peaceful thought life, the Bible speaks very specifically about our minds and how important it is to have control over our thoughts. So our thought life can either be a place of peace and life or a source of immense internal struggle and despair. It's our thoughts that the enemy tries to affect with his half-truths, his lies, his outright lies. It's our thoughts that are the gateway to our emotions and our actions. And it's our thoughts that our Heavenly Father longs to influence, longs to redeem, and wants to renew, that we can experience His everlasting peace regardless of the circumstances that we are going through. And again, our verse, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you," because he trusts you, because he trusts you. We long for that peace. We long for that peace. And it all starts with trust. It all starts with trust. When we allow our minds to stray into worry, doubt, fear, reservation, hesitation, and lies, it's because we're not trusting that God is who he says that he is, or that he will do what he says he will do. If we trust God in our relationships, then we would not spend so much time mulling over conversations that we wish were different, or they could have gone better, or we wouldn't spend time doing that if we trusted him in our relationships. If we truly trusted God as our provider, we would not be spending so much time overwhelming ourselves with how to fix it, change it, do something different, make more, do less, because it's on us. We put that on us. If we truly trusted God with our futures, we wouldn't devote so much of our minds to playing out every single scenario of that could possibly happen. Well, what if I do this? Well, then will this happen? Or how about this? So if we did trust God and understand that we are loved, we are loved by him, we wouldn't spend so much time trying to win the affections of others, because that would hold us. We would grasp that. That would hold us. In Romans 8:6, it says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace." Where you set your mind today is your decision. The Spirit is fully available, living right on in here, okay? Fully available, ready and willing to lead you to abounding joy and peace. And the enemy, this is what he's doing. He is prowling around like a lion, and he is seeking to devour your thoughts, that they might breed emotional and even physical death. He wants your thoughts. He wants to devour them. There is a battle for your thoughts happening every moment, but greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. That is 1 John 4:4. And God has a perfect plan to lead you from thoughts that plague you into life and into joy in the Holy Spirit. We must trust Him as our good and loving Father. Trust that He is always, always with you. Trust that He always has your best interests at heart. Always He does. And place your faith wholeheartedly in Him, because He is perfectly faithful and able. Perfectly faithful and able. He has plans for an incredible hope and a future for you if you will simply trust Him and set your mind on Him as often and as passionately as you can. As often and as passionately as you can. It's that meditating, you know, it's that thinking on Him, thinking on His word, getting that so in you that is what you're reinforcing. And that is what will drive those other, that is what will drive those other thoughts that the enemy is wanting you to focus on. That is what will drive them out. So find that peace today in your thoughts through a powerful revelation of God's abiding love. God's abiding love. In John 16:33, it says, and I will be reading this in the Passion Translation, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have overcome. I have conquered the world. I have overcome." That is John 16:33. And what precious words he is speaking when he says, "Everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you." That is what he desires for us. He desires for us to have that. He does. Something that you have heard me repeatedly say, you know, for the last 8-9 months, actually, is I will not be ruled by fear. I will not be ruled by fear. I won't. I just won't simply do it. Well, when I was studying out for this portion of the lesson tonight, I found my verse. I found my verse that, you know, for, you know, I don't want to let fear rule me. And I found just the perfect verse that is the antidote for that. And it is in Colossians 3, verse 15. And this is in the Amplified. And it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." So in this day, in this age, in this hour, in this moment, no matter what you have going on, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now the verse in the Amplified says it like this: "Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him," boy, there's a key, "be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace you were called." To this peace you were called. powerful portion of scripture. Let the peace of Christ, that inner calm of one who walks daily with him. We spoke about this. We have spoken about this in the last few weeks. One who walks daily with him, one who focuses on him, not the problem, one who meditates on his word, not the problem. Again with that. But what a powerful, powerful verse that is. Okay. So also in Colossians, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth." So, place your trust fully in God for whatever specific troubles you may have going on, and receive the peace that comes from settling your mind on your good and loving Heavenly Father. Our thoughts are a powerful gauge of our level of trust. Not something we like to think about much, but it's true. Thoughts don't run themselves. Thoughts don't run themselves. We think the way that we do for a reason. But when we begin to take those thoughts captive and evaluate those thoughts, we embark on one of the most important things that you will do, which is the process of renewing your mind. And I wish it had the end goal was you got it. Like, I wish that we could renew our mind and then it just was always renewed. I wish that if we followed this pattern and we did these things, that it would always stay renewed. But it does not. It is an ongoing process. It is a thing that you will literally have to continually do. So settle in for the long haul, ladies, because it's something you're going to have to continually do, which is to take those thoughts captive. Take them captive. Bring them in to submission of the one who rules and reigns in your heart. That. Let them do that. Take notice, really, of the way that you think. Like, not the way that you think overall and collectively about life, but take notice of the way that you're thinking right now, today. Take notice of that, okay? And take notice of the things that trouble you, the things that are not going necessarily the way that you would like. And bring those in to submission to Christ. Bring in a verse that so that you may have that peace, you may have that joy, no matter the circumstances going on, no matter what they are. Open your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind, and place your trust in him, that you might truly have this amazing and perfect peace. The verse literally says, he will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Perfect peace, so that you might have that perfect peace. And then let your thoughts come around to the nearness of God, the nearness of God. Last week, we spoke about the disciples, and we spoke about them in the boat, and the wind and the waves came up. The wind and the waves came up. Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat, which was somewhat annoying, I think, to the disciples, because after all, they woke him up and they said, "Don't you care, teacher, that we are going to drown?" Okay, they were a little more than concerned about what was going on with the wind and the waves. And in case you think they pushed that panic button easily, these were seasoned fishermen. They'd seen a storm or two in their day. And for them to, that fear wasn't even something that they were used to. So these waves had to be something, but it rocked their peace. It rocked it. Okay. They didn't have it right then. And they had him as near as in the stern of the boat. So we might look at that and we might say, well, for heaven's sakes, you had Jesus right there in the boat. You've seen him do how many miracles by now? You've seen him feed people. They actually had just left the feeding of the 5,000 when this takes place. That's a pretty big miracle, okay? Nobody ran off to the 7-Eleven for groceries there, okay? And they have him in the stern of the boat, okay? He's near them, the stern of the boat. And yet they were concerned for their life, for their safety, okay? Remember that, please, when I say this next thing to you. He is nearer you than that. He's not in the stern of the boat. He's in here. He's in here, ladies. Wow. That's huge. He's in you. He is in you. So don't let that amazing, powerful presence of his peace and his spirit, don't let the enemy rob you of that. No matter what is going on in your thought process, take it captive. Invite him into whatever thing that is troubling your soul. Invite him in. Take those thoughts captive. Run the enemy out of your stuff and experience and feel that peace in the midst of those waves. In the midst of those waves. Experience that. Yes. So we can have many things that can mess with our peace, but we want to experience his nearness. We want to experience his presence and have that peace, have our thoughts renewed and have that peace. And I want to end with this. Let the peace of Christ, not the fears, not any of that, but let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace you were called. To this peace you were called. Again, that's Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified Version. To this peace you were called. Father, we come before you this evening and we ask you to come in to come into our minds, our thought processes, so that they're not running rampant. They're not running all over the place, but come in there, Lord Jesus. Help us take captive those thoughts that would have us dwelling elsewhere, Lord, and let us experience in a powerful way this week, this evening, this moment. Let us experience that abundant and amazing and joy-filled peace as we turn inward and feel your nearness to us. In your precious, precious name we pray. Amen.